Podcast 67, Spreading Permaculture.
Sponsored by my buddies at PantryParadis.com. They sell food preservation tools. Produce, prepare, preserve your own harvest. All right, so this time I've got Kelly Ware with me again. And she has a topic that she wants to talk about. And basically it all started with, a few days ago, Kelly called me and said that she had an opportunity to be at a booth. Did I want to go and sit with her at a booth and persuade folks to, understand more about permaculture? And so then we got to a long talk about, how do you get permaculture into the brains of people in your local community. And so I think I somehow squirmed out of your offer by talking about, I'm already reaching folks, but on a much larger scale, because it's not so tiny. I mean, for the few things that I've tried to do so far in Missoula, and I have to admit, I haven't really put a lot of effort into it, I'm not making a lot of progress myself. But then again, I'm not making a lot of progress. I could be doing better. And I think that booth time is an important thing if you're trying to change your community. I think that's one way of doing it. Now, so Kelly, first I think we have to set some groundwork here. And just to be clear, as you're going out and doing this, what's your business model? How are you figuring on you're going to make money from doing this?
Well, there's always the potential for having someone wanting to have you consult for them, although I haven't felt like my understanding of systems is up to par with actually being paid for consulting. Then there's the idea of, I can get future more education, say become a key line plow specialist or whatever, or all this stuff that Seth Holzer is doing to come here and teach about pond building. Again, it would be developing myself to the point of being a paid consultant, or what I'd prefer to do is actually just promote development and possibly do like a retirement development for people or myself or whatever, and do projects that we're saying, hey, this is a better investment in your life, so come buy this piece of property that's actually this permaculture development.
Okay. So actually my thinking was that by asking the question, I was kind of feeling like it was a trick question, but that you did list out some things where you could potentially make some money. However, the things that you mentioned struck me as like, yeah, that's going to pay something between diddly and squat.
A few classes here and there, which doesn't pay very much.
Right. And so, here's my impression is that I've heard from a lot of different people from a lot of different places, and they want to go sit in a booth, and they want to, and their mission isn't to make money at all. I mean, the whole transition town thing. And permaculture and all that space. My impression is that there are hordes of people who want their community to be a better thing. So, in the news, it's like, okay, we went and we took a bunch of Roundup and sprayed it all over this place. And then we took a bunch of these other herbicides and sprayed them all over there. And then we sprayed a bunch of this over there. And then because there were bugs over here, we sprayed it with this kind of poison. And we just spray. And then everybody uses the weed and feed. And then everybody's, there's all this stuff going on in your own community that's toxic. And so there's people who want to have, they're in on the permaculture thing. They love permaculture. They're big advocates of permaculture. And it's like the problem that they're facing is that other people just don't seem to even understand a teeny tiny bit of it. So my impression is that when you called me the other day, that you were willing to put in huge tracts of time for which you would be paid nothing. You were willing to put in some of your own money. You were willing to do damn near anything to be able to get some word out in your local community about permaculture.
Mm-hmm.
You're willing to run naked down the street screaming permaculture just so that people have heard the word and they might Google it.
I've done a lot of that name dropping of the word permaculture.
And I'm focusing
so
on the naked down the street part.
As long as I can wear a mask.
Yeah, like people won't know it's you.
Yeah,
so,
right.
But the key is that I think that there are a lot of people, and you know, I think that there are also quite a few people that have literally done the naked down the street thing in the name of trying to draw attention to better horticultural practices, including permaculture. And it just seems to me like people want to do this. Now, granted, now one of the things you brought up was that there's going to be a presentation somewhere, and there's this guy that's going to be talking about how awesome GMOs are.
How to understand them.
Yeah. And you were thinking of going to be part of the audience. And then you were thinking about, like, what's a good question to ask that might help to persuade the people in the audience and maybe even the speaker that GMOs might not be so good. So now, and then you and I talked about it a bit. And now I think I've convinced you to not go.
Well, right. Not to bring up something that would sort of socially annihilate myself or make the other person feel uncomfortable. But we did talk about how just the concept of polycultures would be a better idea for me to talk about at my table or my booth, that might give people a better solution than using those GMOs or whatever. So,
okay.
But yes.
So
yeah,
my point
waste
is.
Of time.
My point is that it's like, boy, you know, if you go to a thing like that and they're saying GMOs are awesome and you stand up, and I mean, you know, and you're angry about it and you say, stop being bad, or you come up with some witty way of being able to persuade people that this is stupid. It's kind of like, because right now what they're thinking of is that, you know, they're in their world. They don't see an alternative, you know, and if you just try and say permaculture, they don't know what that means. And so it's not an obvious thing. In fact, to them, to most of them, permaculture is a non-solution because it doesn't mean anything. It's a word that's thrown about by hippies to justify their hippiness or something, and so they don't comprehend. And if you think about it, permaculture is a much more. I mean, we're trying to emulate nature, and nature is so very complicated. Whereas what they're doing with a monocrop is very simple. So, you know, people will go to school for 4 years in order to have a degree in agronomy in order to be able to, you know, figure out what kind of minerals to add to the soil or what kind of herbicides to use or whatever. And that's a 4-year program. And I think permaculture takes a lot more education than that. It's a far more complicated system. So you can't just say stop doing that and do permaculture instead.
Yeah, send your kids to Gaia University instead, or send them off to a permaculture course.
Well, try that one too. There are some other good points to make. I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find very many permaculture farms that are feeding a significant portion of the population.
Yeah.
And so a lot of these guys are not leaders, they're followers. And so even the guy at the front of the room is a follower. He's espousing the information that he was fed by the local university system, which is funded in large by Monsanto. And so they're just, you know, going to keep carrying that. And if you want to get involved and go head to head with this kind of thing, it's just going to be frustrating and end poorly. So it's kind of like, all right, in order to understand permaculture, it's made of thousands of little bits. And so I think a better mission is instead of going someplace and putting yourself into an awkward situation that's kind of got a little ick factor attached to it, that I think you would be happier, and I think, you know, the other people listening to this podcast, if they're thinking about this road, would be happier to share small bits of positive information.
Mm-hmm.
And once people have gotten enough small bits of positive information, they'll glue it together. And if each little small bit has the word, oh, by the way, this is permaculture in it, after a while they start to get the idea these things that they like, these things that they think are smart, are under the permaculture umbrella. And so then maybe they'll think, well, if I go find the permaculture umbrella itself, maybe I'll find more things I hadn't thought of, and then travel further down the road. So I'm saying don't go to that GMO presentation. You know, that that's just a road for pain for you and pain for them. And so let that go. But now let's take on the bigger problem. I think that you and hundreds, if not thousands, of other people are feeling like, I want to make the world a better place, especially in my local community. What do I do? What are the steps that I take to make things better, to hopefully persuade my neighbors to stop using weed and feed, and you know, to start growing their own gardens and then polyculture gardens at that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right. So when you called me, one of the things you wanted me to do was to go sit with you at a booth. What was the event?
It's on global and local opportunities in agriculture, and, you know, connecting the local people that are doing agriculture to help try to support them, you know, through land use trusts and, you know, protection of open, you know, lands that can be used for agriculture.
So, not an organic event.
Not an organic event, yeah, and it was kind of like, hey, Paul, you could describe to these people a lot better than I could, so that was my reason for dragging you along. Here,
okay.
You talk to them.
All right. So it's an agricultural thing.
It's an agricultural thing.
Okay, all right. I think going there and conveying some information about Sepp Holzer's upcoming event would be good. I mean, after all, here's a farmer on very, very sloped land that is in climate that's very similar to Montana's climate. And he's making $500,000 a year, roughly. You know, and so if nothing else, you can say, I think that the material for those guys would be, here's a guy making $500,000 a year. What do you think? Does that interest you at all? Because I know that a lot of these people are not making very much money.
Right.
And so in which case it's like, well, maybe this is worth looking into. Maybe there's something there for me. You know, it is a more challenging path. But there's probably in your neighborhood, there's probably one event per month where it would be reasonable for you to have some kind of booth. Does that sound accurate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And I would say that the thing to do at most, and a lot of these booths are going to be more towards the local community as opposed to something, because it sounds like the event you're describing is something of a regional event.
It is.
You know, people will come from hundreds of miles to learn about possible better ways of doing stuff. And the other people with booths will probably be vendors. They're going to be there to make some kind of money or something like that. They've got a grant to try and tell the community about something, or they have a product that they're trying to sell. Is that accurate?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. All right. So, let us suppose that through whatever means, you've paid for your booth.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can go and hand out flyers and tell people about permaculture. And your hope is that this is going to make your community a healthier, better community for yourself. And it's kind of like, it's just something you need to do. I mean, if nothing else, I can relate to that because this is kind of like what I spend a huge part of my day every day doing is trying to just get permaculture into more brains. So now you're going to be doing what I do, but on a local scale. I think the first thought that a lot of people have with the transition movement or with trying to spread the word of permaculture, so they got a permaculture guild in their community or something like that, is that they want to hand out a flyer, and the flyer is going to say, here's what the permaculture philosophy is, here's the three ethics, here's the 12 principles, you know, things of that nature. And so it kind of comes off as like a document that comes from the Seventh-day Adventists who knock on your door. Only, actually, you know what? The Seventh-day Adventists, they hand out a brochure that doesn't seem to go so much into their general philosophy. The stuff they hand out now is like that little watchtower booklety, magazine-y kind of thing that's like all of 8 pages or something like that.
Yeah, those are the Jehovah's Witnesses, but yeah, same thing.
Okay, all right, Jehovah's Witnesses. So the Jehovah's Witnesses has come, and they hand out this document, and it says it's got like little stories in it and little tips, and it's actually not too bad of a little magazine or whatever it is, So anyway, it's not too terribly preachy, I don't know. I guess my point is that a lot of people who are just getting started, they want to pass out a document that says permaculture is awesome. Trust us. And what I'm thinking is how about this? How about instead of that, how about if you do like what the Jehovah's Witnesses do and put together something where it's like, hey, here's an idea. What if you could have a garden and you don't have to water it? You grow all the same plants that you want, but you don't have to water it. Here's how you do it. And
right.
And then you have another document that's like, you know, hey, what do you think of the idea of being able to heat your home with nothing but the twigs that fall off of your tree? So, like, you know, when you go prune your tree, just save those branches, and that's what you heat your home with. And you don't have to heat your home with anything else.
Yeah, or if you stick this $15 beehive on the south face of your house, then you'll eventually have bees.
Sure, there's that. There's, you know, and a variety of things like this. I mean, you know, so each
power
little tiny... Each tiny pamphlet, maybe the thing is that these will each be like half a piece of paper, and on the front side of the piece of paper is to get you started, and on the back is like some more information, and then you've got a URL at the bottom that says, you know, hey, for more information, come on out to the Big Fork Permaculture Guild at... you know, bigforkpg.org or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is to give them a flyer that just gets them tasted up, and then they want to come out to your website to get all the details. So I guess my point is I think that this is far more effective. I mean, this is kind of what I do. Each one of my videos is attempting to convey a bit of information about something. So scything. Here's a scythe. And scythe, the title is using a scythe is faster than using a string trimmer. And then, you know, Brian goes through it, and he shows how to use a scythe, and he talks about it a little bit, and you can kind of see how it does go pretty fast. And how it works is something that's a little different than what you might have thought. And so next thing you know, and then he talks about, well, if you use a string trimmer, then it's flinging slug guts and bits of plants at your legs. And you're getting covered in junk. You know, yeah, and it's smelly too. And it's noisy, and whereas this
get
is
that
like
good workout.
Yeah, you know, and I didn't think you should talk about the workout so much because I kind of think that the amount of sweat that goes into it is not all that different from the amount of sweat that goes into using a string trimmer.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I think. So that's one thing. And then I got my video about, hey, you get 500 hot showers from one small compost pile. And, you know, each one of these things is a tidbit of information. The video about hugelkultur, you know, and here's, here we are making it, and here's what we what it takes to make it, and stuff like that. Each one is a tidbit of information. I think that it's a great way to go about it to do a similar thing at the booth, that the bits of information that are handed out are more about here's something that can make your life easier. It's like an iPod, but it's for your garden, and it doesn't cost you anything. It's free. It's just knowledge. I think a good one would be like, here's stuff you can plant in your lawn that would make your lawn kick-ass cool. You put crocuses in your lawn, and then in the beginning of spring when everybody else's lawn is like dormant and looks dead and it's brown, then you'll have this lush lawn full of green and flowers. You'll have like this meadow on your lawn. It'll be the first sign of life in the spring. And the only trade-off is you can't use weed and feed on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then it's like, here's a bunch of other cool stuff you can plant on your lawn. This is what permaculture is all about, baby. It's all about making things cool.
Yeah.
So,
all the tips.
I think that that's the approach to take. So then you would have like a dozen little tiny flyers, and they can pick up the ones that they like. And then on the back side, it's like, hey, if you want to do more of this stuff, if you're going to really do it for real, here's the detailed information is at our website. And, oh, by the way, you can sign up for our mailing when we have new information.
Yeah, building the mailing
list. Building the mailing list. That's a very powerful tool. So,
we're talking about professional events. Possibly, you could
right.
Throw
so the
your
next,
own.
So the next thing for building a local knowledge set, and this comes from something we've been talking about with SEP coming to town, and for Missoula, I was talking to a guy about like, okay, let's see about making it a professional event, because the thing is that if we just try and tell the local newspapers that SEP's a coming, and we try and you know, it's like we just our stuff's just going to get ignored. On the other hand, if you find somebody whose job it is to put together an event and you say, put together this professional event and charge $200 a ticket and get a venue that'll hold 200 people or something like that. I don't know. I'm making these numbers up. Then the thing is that then they've got plenty of money. And now they can go out and they can drop $5,000 on actual advertising. And plus, since this is like something that they do professionally, then they know who to contact at the local media and get them to run a story about it. And you know, a lot of the local media, they don't care that you exist unless you spend at least $1,000 on advertising. You know, and then, but if you're spending $1,000 on advertising, well, it turns out that they are interested in writing a story about you.
Right.
And so, and these people know how to work the systems. So now, a lot of people won't come to an event if they don't ever hear about it. Now you're hitting all the advertising, so now lots and lots of people are going to hear about it. And the people who pay and come will, of course, be the people that can afford it. So they've shelled out $200 to come to this event and hear SEP talk all day. And maybe it'll be turned into like a two-day event somehow, or I don't know what. But then there's all the people who want to go, but they can't afford it. But check it out. they never knew they wanted to go before, but now they know they want to go, and they know why they want to go, and they know what permaculture is, and they know that they want to learn it. And they didn't know that before. So there was a massive educational process of learning more about permaculture just from finding out that this event was going to happen and getting tasted up for it. And it's clearly worth $200. Now, a lot of people doing permaculture stuff, they're like trying to put their whole event together on the cheap. And the reason why they can do it on the cheap is because they don't pay themselves, and they don't pay for any advertising whatsoever other than stuff that they can get for free, which is basically email lists and that kind of thing. So basically, hardly anybody ever finds out about it. And even still, a lot of times, they still can't put on the event because not enough people paid for it.
Right.
And it's like, man, we can't even cover the costs of having the event. And so really, I think that a much smarter way to go, I mean, you want to change the world and get permaculture out there, go out, charge some real money for the events, and buy some real advertising. And not only that, but I think your money's going to go a hell of a lot farther if you hire somebody who really knows what they're doing in this space.
Right.
They pay for the advertising, they make the connections to the media, and then they'll get all kinds of attention coming in. I think that's the way to go. Charge real money, because you got to pay for that advertising. You got to get that taken care of. I think that's an important ingredient that's missing from most of these events. They just don't do any advertising at all. Now, in Seattle, when I first got to Seattle as an adult, then I wanted to get connected to the local permaculture scene. And so I went, Googling around the internet and stuff like that to try and find out, like, what's going on in Seattle. So I found something where somebody was putting together a bit of a calendar about different events. And so then I went to, a couple events per weekend that were, about intentional community or about building a cob oven or whatever. And then eventually there were permaculture potlucks and stuff like that. And so I was able to get very connected to the local permaculture community through this calendar. So I would have to say that a good thing to do would be to make sure that your community has a calendar for cool events. So, if your event is going to be, some sort of farm tour, that goes on. If somebody's got there's music going down at the local bar, don't put that one on. That's a different venue. That's not your thing. People are coming to your calendar to learn about the eco workshops and the eco events and that kind of stuff. The stuff that falls underneath the permaculture umbrella. And if you wanted to, you could say everything falls under the permaculture umbrella, but then it's hard to pick out the permaculture stuff from all the rest. So I think. And so you've got a calendar. And then the other thing is to say, okay, with the calendar, we've got a weekly email that goes out on Thursdays to let you know about what permaculture events are going on this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Or this upcoming week. And so Thursday is a good day to send that out. And then the other thing is people want to get that. So then when you've got something new and big, then you have a means of being able to let them know. So that way people can get to these events and learn about these things. You mentioned something about adult education programs.
Yeah, our little area up here surprisingly doesn't have any adult education through the high school, and my child goes, I've got a child in the high school in a bigger city, and then I've got my first grader here in the elementary school, so it's through eighth grade. And the principal is very interested in this kind of thing and opening up the dialogue, and the community is very interested in receiving community education classes. So, if you had a whole sustainability forum of classes through that and invite people to teach on different levels, different things, that would go underneath those, or teach it yourself, the classes that include other things, so that you get the advertising done through the school systems and it gets in the paper, your classes. And so it's a great way to get a class series funded and improve your community on any level that anyone's willing to teach it, you know, that you think is good and enhancing all that.
That sounds like a great one. That sounds like a great way to do it. And then, of course, if they've got something that a lot of the adult education programs have some kind of budget for mailing something out periodically to say, here are some of the classes that we're going to be teaching this upcoming quarter that are available to the local adult population. And for more information, come on out to our website.
Yeah, and what's great is during the school year, they usually do a fall, winter, and spring courses. And believe me, everybody in the spring is just itching to get into any kind of gardening class or that kind of thing.
Yeah. So I think that's another great one. Another one is local blogs. There's probably if you go to Google right now and you type in Big Fork blog, there's probably somebody who is the Big Fork blog, and it's got the local information. And you know, a lot of blogs are okay with having a guest blogger or something, or a regular guest or something. I know that I'm set up with Make It Missoula, and I write something for them, like, you know, two or three times a month. They'll publish something that I wrote. And I think it's a great way to be in contact with your local community and help to convey information about permaculture.
Well, and joining your local chamber of commerce, although it can be a little bit costly, is probably a really good investment too, because they have a huge list of entrepreneurs and leaders in the community that goes out every week as to the events and some classes and all that.
Okay. I've never tried that. That's one I don't know about, but that sounds like it has potential. From the, you know, taking the blogs to one step further is writing articles for the local newspapers, the dailies as well as the weekly papers.
And a lot of times they're very interested in having you write an article consistently on sustainability issues. I know you don't like that word as much, but on issues that are of importance in our society, in our time, which ecotourism, health-related, you know, all that kind of stuff. They would love to have – people are scrambling. My sister just said, oh, you've got to go on this website where you make money from home writing things. They're looking for garden writers, and they'll pay you for it. Well, it's the same thing. These local papers want that kind of good information, how-tos, definitely, too.
Right. I know that I've been asked several times if my articles can be used for a variety of different newsletters and things, and I tell people that it's totally fine. I just have a few requirements, and I've outlined it out at Permies in the Tinkering Forum, but my requirement is that first of all, get my permission. Second of all, it needs to have, you know, listed it's that I wrote it and what the original URL is for the document. It's really important to me that there not be more than one copy of any of my articles on all of the internet. So some people, it's kind of like, okay, we're going to we want to use your hugelkultur article in our newsletter and therefore tell our people about hugelkultur. And then once we got our newsletter done, we mail it out, we hand it out, we do all the stuff with the newsletter, and we put a copy of it up on our webpage for people to consume electronically. And that's the part I'm not okay with. Because then that makes one copy. So it's like if it's for something where there's going to be another copy like that, I'm not okay with that. And so I think that if it's something that's going to be strictly just handed out in paper, then I am okay with that with permission. Now, of course, if a person goes to my article and then they just print it out for their own personal use, just for themselves, they printed it out for their own use, That's fine. To go and print my article out and start handing it out to other people, that's a copyright violation, and I'm not okay with it. You got to get my permission for that, and I want to know what you're going to be doing with it. But anyway, the key is that if you wanted to take some of my content and put it into a newspaper or a magazine where it's not going to be copied anywhere on the internet, then with my permission, it will probably be okay. I think it would be cool if people start to put together something of like a collection of articles on permaculture-esque stuff to go into local blogs or local newspapers or whatever to try and just help. And you know what? Maybe it's even possible, like you were saying, people are willing to pay for that. It may be entirely possible for somebody to make a column that is nothing more than a long, like maybe there's going to be like 300 permaculture articles that could be copied in to something like this, and somebody could say, I'm a columnist, and they're not really, they're just copying and pasting every week. But hey, it gets the job done, and it's persuasive. What the hell?
And if people, what do you feel if people put a link to one of your articles on their website?
Oh, people can link to me all they want. Please do. It's a big help in all kinds of different ways.
Because, you know, so, they have an article, and they'll say, here's a great article on heliculture. Look at it here, and then it links to your article directly.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. They don't need my permission to do that. Everybody can make all the links to my stuff that they want. The problem, I mean, one of the problems that I have is that people are copying my articles and saying that they wrote it. And that, I mean, I'm going to get ugly over that. But I've had some very good people who have said, hey, recently it came up where Kelda and Marisha wanted to take my chicken article and print it out and share it with students at the PDCs that they teach. And I was saying that is totally awesome because they have a link to where, you know, this came from richsoil.com at this, you know, URL. Here's where the original article is and here's where it's going to be updated and whatnot. And so the only thing I asked is like, you know, don't put a copy of it up online. And of course, you know, they're going to teach between the two of them, there's probably about five or six PDCs per year. And each one will have like 20 to 30 students, and so they'll hand out copies to those people, and that just seems awesome to me. That just seems great. They got permission. Everything was all good. Everything's great. And they're going to not put a copy up on the internet, and instead they just say, if you want to read this online, here's a link. There you go. I think that would be great. If somebody wants to put my stuff into a newsletter or a local magazine or whatever, then they want to make an electronic version available, then right where my article would normally go, then I do allow for online stuff to use up to one picture and one or two paragraphs from the article, and then to make a link to the full article. So a link to my stuff. That's totally okay. I'm okay with that. In which case, you know, where the rest of the article would appear in their newsletter, it would be kind of blank. But, you know, hey, they're able to get the whole thing online. So it all works out.
Another link to that link idea is starting some sort of a online bookstore or whatever where people can get more in-depth information and actually pay the producer of it some money so they can put food on their table, get paid for their time. So that was just another idea that kind of popped up, was kind of the bookstore idea.
Well, and yeah, there are people who, you know, expect, you know, like there's their livelihood is that they get paid to write this stuff, you know, and so yeah, there's other avenues to pursue. I think it'd be cool if somebody could put together a big list of articles that could be used for all the different kinds of permaculture things. I mean, if the mission is to persuade your community to the value of permaculture, then it would be great if there was a list of links to that stuff. And yeah, maybe some of it's like, okay, yeah, you can publish this in your local newspaper for $50. And or something like that. And then maybe they're hoping that they'll get published in like 30 or 40 different places. But it seems like if nothing else to start off with, here's a list of permaculture-esque articles that, like, you know, if, supposing that a person wants to become a columnist, but they're not exactly a great writer or whatever, or a prolific writer or whatever, then it's like, okay, maybe sometimes they write their own articles, and maybe sometimes they do a little copy and paste.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they paid for it. Now they can.
Right.
Which is
I like the idea of, you know, teach what you most want to learn. And I think from the point of view of somebody who wants to promote the people who know what they're doing in permaculture as a way to get involved in the community, that it's such a great learning opportunity for the individual, too, like, for example, in doing this table at this agricultural conference, it's helping me get my ducks in order and get my sheets in order. And I think that one thing is, like, there's so much information, unless it's collected in a very organized, really good fashion, that gives people the seeds they can follow to, you know, that body of information or whatever. I think it's a great way to prepare each person. You know, you become a teacher because that's what you most want to learn.
Right. So, I think that this is probably just getting started. So for people that are just really, they are in love with permaculture and they want to share that love and they want to go around and infect others with knowledge of permaculture, and there are a lot of them, then I think that this is just getting started. I think there's going to be a lot more steps that can be done. And so now, if I remember correctly, you're going to go start a thread out at permies.com talking about this.
Uh-huh. And, it's called How to Add Permaculture to Local Mindset.
Okay.
Right.
I encourage people who hear this podcast to go out there and add their ideas. And maybe we'll make another podcast later conveying a lot of these other ideas. This is just something that we came up with at the spur of the moment.
And for the people here in Montana who are interested in pooling our thoughts, aside from Permies too, on Facebook, I've got Permaculture Montana that we're all also involved in.
Right.
Developing.
So we do have some local resources. I still think email is the best way. Now I've got on my email list there's the Missoula checkbox, you know, but that's my broadcast medium. And of course, I've got the Missoula Eco Forum where people can come and talk about permaculture-ish stuff for the Missoula area. But I think really the best thing to do is for each party, I mean, get those emails, get those email addresses gathered up. It just seems to be the most powerful tool. I know that in Seattle, Kelda had that calendar, and then she would also go sit at booths, and the number one thing that she wanted to do was to collect email addresses. And I think after a few months of trying, I think she collected like 600. And then she was able to make some big, big changes in the Seattle area just through that mailing list, just by sharing information through all those people.
Right. And another great idea with that is going through your local schools, too, and showing stuff to get that, because you get the people who want to help their children. You know, with the children are the ones who are going to have to inherit this world of problems that our grandparents created or whatever, and that we're all contributing to either the solution or the problem. So, I don't know, again, I think schools are a good place to educate and throw a class or two and, you know, get people interested somewhere or another, PTOs and all that.
I think that if we get enough interest in this, we need to start a new forum out at Permies just about this topic, about how to share permaculture knowledge, how to infect, you know, your community with it. Because it does seem to me like I am shocked at how many people are willing to put in such enormous slices of their life and their resources into trying to share this knowledge.
Well, it's so timely, and I think that people all over, even the whole mainstream, is starting to realize, you know, like they're saying, well, we kind of are at peak oil, and we're looking at gas prices steadily going up. We're looking at oil products steadily going up. So how do we start getting on our local resources? How do we start doing the right thing by the earth, since it's been so upset, even especially the water, you know? And so how do we start doing? I think that the pressure is there in the mainstream to have a more healthy existence on this earth.
Right. I agree. I mean, a lot of people, their position is like, oh, yeah, sure, it's toxic, but what else are you going to do, eh? And it's kind of like, oh.
Got to die of something.
So, yeah, there you go. And so it's kind of defeatist. And so I think that the thing is that if we show them the other way, I think that they'll naturally adopt this better way without having to be told. Because I think what it is, if you say, hey, what you're doing there is stupid, then they dig in their heels and they're not going to change. But then if you present to them, here's an idea about a different way, then it's like, oh, wow, that's awesome. And then it solves this other problem I was having too.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. So, but... Okay, I think that I think we've covered this one well enough.
Yep.
I think that we've set the groundwork for possibly a version two of this podcast.
And I wanted to throw in what Toby said, you know, when we were talking about when we left our little convergence with him, Toby Hemingway, he said, okay, here's a permaculture principle for you. How can y'all go home and do whatever it is that you can do that will have the most... what they call abundant outcome. What is that? The theory of producing a surplus. But really, it's you know, what can we do that will gain as much rewards, or what are the words? What's that principle?
Well, I don't know. How can you have the biggest impact on your community?
Yeah, and be fruitful in your efforts.
Okay.
The most fruitful.
Well, and I think it would be awesome to, for people that have already done some work down this road. I think it would be great if you start this thread. It would be great if those people came and commented on that thread and shared what was the most effective, what was the least effective. And I think we should get some hive mind going on this to try and figure out, like, how do we go about changing the world for the better? How do we get the permaculture message out to our local communities to make a difference?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, have people try different things? I hear about what people have tried, what worked and what didn't, et cetera.
Okay, well, that's going up on the website right now.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing the brainstorming in action.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If you like this sort of thing, come on out to the forums at permies.com. We talk about your local community, homesteading, and permaculture all the time.
All the time. Yahoo!